Good evening and welcome to the newest and latest edition of Musings on 39 podcast. Guys, we are at episode 5. So without any further delay, let me introduce my podcast hosts. Gentlemen, welcome back for a new and improved episode. How are we doing today?
Hey guys, it's good to be back with you all. Hey Cam, hope you're doing well this week. Keanu, what's going on, man?
What's up, boys? Always a pleasure being here. I'm looking forward to episode 5. A lot of things have happened. A lot of things have changed. So yeah, I can't wait to jump into it.
Definitely. I'm glad to hear that you guys are all doing well. But before we crack on, to all our viewers out there, we've organized something really cool for you guys. And hopefully you guys will be as excited as we are. But today will be where we introduce our first guest. So, Tubbs, would you like to take it away?
With pleasure, Cam. Thanks for that. So, please join me in welcoming my good friend, Daniel. I've been mates with him for a long time, and we've always had a good we've always been able to have a good conversation, being football or general conversation. Welcome, Dan.
Hello, everybody. Good evening in South Africa over here. It is a pleasure to be on here. I appreciate the invitation. Thank you so much.
And for reference, today is the 27th of April, the day of recording of this episode. So lads, how are we feeling this week? Lots of things going on in the news worldwide in football.
That's very true.
Yeah, I think for many Liverpool footballers, hasn't been the best week. Last week we had, you know, the whole Super League scenario, which we'll touch on in due course. We had the draw with Leeds, which we probably should have won, but at the end of the day, we're very lucky not to lose. And then, you know, Chelsea drew against Brighton. Actually, we're very lucky to come away with the draw. Brighton only scored in the end there. And ended up having a typical game against Newcastle, went into the lead very early with an absolute stunner from Salah. And yeah, we ended up firing blanks for the rest of the game and ended up drawing. But we live and learn.
I hope you're enjoying 6.
Yeah, and I hope Madrid win tonight. So at least we all have good things.
Why would you be?
What's wrong, Dan? You don't seem so happy with that comment. Why is that?
I'm not happy at all with that comment about Real Madrid winning the game. Unless you're a Real Madrid supporter, I have no idea why you are gunning against Chelsea.
Hazard's gonna sink you, boys. Hazard's gonna come back.
Well, I hope he doesn't. I hope he scores an own goal, because he is our king, and we are hoping that he does come back to the bridge, hoping to, you know, assist us in some type of way in the second leg. But I do believe that we are going to do pretty well at Estadio Di Stefano. I do believe that we might come off with a win. If we are starting with Giroud, hopefully he can use his height. Varane, who I do not think is in the starting lineup due to COVID.
Ramos also out.
And Ramos also out. So I do believe Giroud might be playing a part in this semi-final. Hopefully.
On where's the faith in Werner?
Yeah, I wanted to pop in here. I wanted to really hear your opinion on him.
I do accept the fact that Werner, he is a specific player who preferably shouldn't be stuck on the left-hand side as Lampard did, as Tuchel has done. I do believe that we need to play him center a lot more, hopefully with Kai Havertz playing a false nine position to assist him. But he is playing a lot better than the likes of Alvaro Morata was playing previously. He is putting in the stats and putting in the work. He is the hardest working player on the pitch, apart from Mason Mount. So I just accept the fact that he does need time to improve, but we can't be waiting for him to improve before or during a semi-final. I will be okay with him coming on maybe in the 75th minute if a goal hasn't come through yet. But I would prefer if Giroud did start this match, or Tammy Abraham.
Well, I mean, we can't all have the god himself going through the most incredible run of form, Kelechi Iheanacho. It's incredible what he's doing at Leicester City.
My Nigerian brother.
That's a good point there. But, I mean, look, he's been, with his contributions to Leicester lately, they seem to be in the driver's seat to claiming their position in Champions League next season. It's incredible to see. No Liverpool.
For sure, I've actually watched some parts of the game last night, and not only on the goal scoring front, I always saw him a bit as a lucky player at Man City. I just felt he was in the right place at the right time. But he also went through a big dip. But watching parts of the game and also seeing a highlight package of only him this morning, he was involved in everything. It was passing here, setting up players, holding up the ball, and he ended up scoring a great goal as well. But it's just, there's so much added more into his game than which was previously lacking. And I feel good for him that he's proving his quality in the Prem and Leicester as well. I thought they might bottle it again, but it seems like their Champions League position is nearly assured.
I do believe their Champions League position is assured. But then again, we have to look at the team that he is playing for. We looked at a player like Jamie Vardy, and he is outshone and outshone game after game for Leicester City. Do we believe that it is the position that they are both playing, or do we give credit to the team as well, or the manager, Brendan Rodgers?
I was actually going to mention that, you know, I feel bad for Spurs. You know, they just lost another final.
Yeah.
You know, and after getting rid of Mourinho, now they're looking at getting a new manager. They first were looking at Julian Nagelsmann from RB Leipzig, who actually today was confirmed to have signed to be the next manager of Bayern Munich next season. And
yeah, but we also that coming though. Let's be real.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, who wants to manage such a low quality team? They actually have such great players. So, but I also saw not too long ago that Brendan Rodgers, he also doesn't want the Tottenham Hotspurs job. They're actually going to now look at Southgate to be the new coach. But
what? That's a joke.
Yeah, serious. I saw that earlier.
If they get Southgate, that is like 20 steps back. You're going to go from Pochettino to Mourinho to then Southgate. I'm lost for words.
I just think if I'm Brendan Rodgers, I think on paper, Tottenham is probably a bigger club than Leicester. But why would you go to Tottenham now? There's nothing really, no young excitement, no young talent really in the squad. There's a top striker who's brilliant, but he's still won nothing. There's aging defenders who need replacing. And the whole club structure is just, I don't think it's a Brendan Rodgers job. I think it could be if he comes in and transforms things. But I just don't, I can't see him giving up something that he's actually really building at Leicester to restart with something in a worse position than where Leicester is. So I think if I'm Rodgers, I would also take Champions League football over Europa or nothing.
I would. But also, if we look at Tottenham, if we do want to be very honest with ourselves, the one issue that they have is they almost need a manager like Sam Allardyce, to be very honest with you, or Steve Bruce, or a Sean Dyche. Someone who gets given X and you spend X, but you need to do the most with X. You know what I mean? They very, for lack of a better word, stingy with their money, which is insane considering that they like to say that they are big club. Big club spend.
But you see, that's exactly what, I mean, I'm sure we can all think that Daniel Levy is that kind of person he's not really known for spending. And like, exactly. If we look back at everything that happened in the ESL, I can imagine that a lot of Tottenham supporters are still very unhappy about the situation.
But even if we look at Arsenal with Stan Kroenke, I mean, Stan Kroenke owns one of the most lucrative American football teams in the LA Rams. They've just got a brand new stadium last year. and man can't even fork out cash to get some of the best footballers in the world to come to his club. Well, I don't want to say his club. Who?
He did fork out cash. He gave Aubameyang a new contract.
My word. And that's value for money.
Obama what? Obama who?
Obama clap bang, man. But but let's be realistic, right? Okay, look, I think I think Ozil was also on way too much money for what he was contributing to the club. But you let someone like Ozil go, and I mean they invested 70 million in Nicolas Pepe, and he's bared absolutely nothing. You know what I mean? Like,
when was actually the last game Aubameyang played?
Man has malaria.
I think Ozil was treated very badly by Arsenal. And I think he was shunted out of the team for
even by moral Arteta, and ethical though. Don't you think? Oh, of course. But also think about it with Arteta. I mean, like, they used to be former teammates. And I was quite, you know, optimistic that Ozil would have played this season, considering Arteta, you know, would have been at the helm with the new Prem squad. And then when the squad got released earlier, or late last year, sorry, for this season, I was quite shocked that Ozil wasn't there. But then, of course, that's why he left. Can't blame the man.
Ollie's a better coach.
I do feel like the Ozil situation was a lot deeper than the manager. I feel like it went straight to the boards and the members of the faculty and also the other members. I just believe that it wasn't just up to the manager to decide whether he was going to play or not.
But Dan, if you are the owner or the CEO, CEO, whatnot, you currently have someone on your books earning 350,000 quid a week. Okay? Uh-huh. That's more than a third of £1 million a week. Surely you're not going to pull some strings to make sure that guy's even on the bench. But to have him completely shun out, I think that's also why, looking back, just to compare apples with apples, I think that's also why, Manchester United got Mourinho out instead of Pogba, because that was pretty much the decision that the board had to make. Sell Pogba or sack Mourinho.
Well, look, another thing about Pogba is that you get shirt sales, you have commercials.
But you keep Mourinho, you get trophies.
Tottenham didn't get any.
You're not going to be like 100% sure you're going to get trophies with Ozil, but you're definitely going to get provision financially from probably the likes of whoever is investing in the club and choosing for Ozil not to play.
No, of course. Yeah.
They must have definitely balanced their checks and decided, okay, it's best that Ozil doesn't play, even if he's getting paid.
Of course.
Million that we are probably getting invested in us per week would be better to just give Ozil a third of that than to have him play and not get that million at all.
I suppose in that same breath as well, I mean, Ozil kind of had the power in his hands, similar to Bale and Real Madrid. I mean, Real Madrid and Arsenal are bound legally to contracts to pay these players these wages, regardless of whether they play or not. The same with, we mentioned Hazard earlier, and Hazard's missed more games for Real Madrid than what he's played. And he's on, what, £200,000 a week or something like that? You know, so it's really much risk versus reward. But just looking at that again, the Glazers sacking Mourinho.
Glazers out.
They thought that it was more financially beneficial to sack Mourinho than to sell Pogba, in my personal opinion. I think having someone like Pogba removed back then, oh, I can't comment now, but back then was probably wiser, because in my opinion, a player doesn't run the club. You have a team, not a player. And in my opinion, I just thought that Mourinho, even today, would probably still be more valuable to Manchester United than Paul Pogba, in my opinion.
I just want to pop in a question here. I think then we can talk about the Super League, because lots has happened there as well. But I wanted to hear your guys' opinion on the sacking of Mourinho 3 days before a cup final. I thought that was tragic. I thought that was a wrong move. It was in the midst of all the...
I think the word you are looking for is absolutely ludicrous.
Yeah, I understand, like, maybe it didn't take... It's in the middle of the Super League little fiasco. A lot of people have said he refused to come out of his team, and that's why it was the final nail in the coffin for him. But I think it was an easy way for Daniel Levy to get rid of the man.
Look, I think if he...
Easy way. Just hold on. I just want... Easy way.
Yeah, because...
He got paid... I think he got paid out 19 million because he got sacked.
Yeah, but the thing is, I'm promising you there's going to be bigger backlash if the Super League was not going on. If it's just headline Mourinho sacked, there's so much eyes on Tottenham. And it's kind of like gone under the shadow because no one knows, like, oh, Mourinho sacked. Oh, well, cool, Super League. So it wasn't a big news. And he kind of got away from all eyes being on Tottenham once again.
I'm not too sure if that's why he did it. I think maybe it was just the final nail in the coffin. I've read a lot of articles that he was planning to get a lot of money from signing with the Super League. You know, they were all going to get that signing bonus. And that would have, of course, covered costs and whatnot. But I don't think it was a smart business decision. Like I've said many a time, these owners, they are incredibly smart. I mean, you don't get to being billionaires without, you know, having a brain. And for me, from a business point of view, I think sacking Jose Mourinho was completely the wrong decision. Sure, if you get to the end of the season and they didn't make Europa League, which I don't think they will. There's also the side that they had a cup final. And like everyone and all the football pundits have said, if there's any manager you want to manage you in a final and to frustrate another team, it's going to be Jose Mourinho.
Hey, unattractive football and defensive football.
But also, even if you look, people say unattractive football.
Sane.
Kane and Son have the best figures since Ronaldo and Rooney in the Premier League for an attacking duo.
Can I just maybe step in here and say, look, that's the opinion from Liverpool supporters who were never coached by Jose Mourinho, the likes of Jose. Let me and Daniel step in here because, you know, we both have experience with a Jose Mourinho run team.
Especially Daniel.
Have you been managed by Roy Hodgson? Have you seen that man's tactics? And Kenny Dalglish signing Andy Carroll and Luis Suarez in replace for El Nino.
But you have gotten Brendan Rodgers and gotten rid of him as well.
Look, with Brendan, I think it was sad. I think it was just the time. I think it was heavily motivated by having someone like Jurgen Klopp not at a club. I mean, that's, you know, and I think as we can see now, what Jurgen did at Dortmund and what he's done at us now is just testament to the club's just bonded. I did like Brendan. I really did. I'm just not sure if maybe, you know, Liverpool is his type of bread and butter. Whereas if you see, like what Keone said earlier, like, is Tottenham really like Brendan Rodgers' kind of team? You know, I think he likes being the underdog and he likes, you know, I don't want to say smaller clubs, the slightly smaller clubs. He did really well with Swansea. He's doing really well with Leicester. So maybe that's just for him. But yeah, like Keone said, I'm very interested to hear you guys on your take on Mourinho.
I'm just going to say quickly, Brendan Rodgers didn't get the chance that he deserved in Liverpool. He did a very good job. And if it wasn't for the slip up, I feel like...
This does not slip.
To be very fair... Yeah, okay, cool. Steven Gerrard slipping against your team of choice. But also...
Demba Ba!
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. But don't you also think he was also terribly plagued by injury?
I mean, he was. But I just feel like there could have been another chance for him. He did so well in other teams, and Rangers, even with a Celtic team that was uprising. And I just feel like Brendan Rodgers should have been given at least another year. There was the whole memes of Thierry Henry and Jamie Carragher hands on each other's laps, surprised about the fact that he was fired. And like all of that just took me by surprise, you know? I just felt like Liverpool should have given him a chance. The same way that Chelsea did give Mourinho a chance after his first few seasons, even after he did win and lose and win again. I feel like if you just give your manager a chance, going back to the traditional topic, things would have hopefully gotten a lot easier for Liverpool earlier than during the Jurgen Klopp era.
But look, Mourinho was given a chance at United and he clearly failed in his second season.
He didn't clearly fail. I mean, what place did he come?
Fail?
Okay, he didn't fail. No, but the thing is, he definitely did lose. No. Look, let me just say this. He lost the dressing room, and I think that's exactly what happened.
He didn't lose the dressing room. He lost Paul Pogba. And then, yes, inadvertently, he lost the dressing room. But
if you lose a player like Paul Pogba, you lose the dressing room. And I think that's exactly...
Pogba think he is? He's merely a speckle on the history of Manchester United Football Club. That would not have flown during the Ferguson era. No one was bigger than the club during the Ferguson era.
Of course not. And see what happened to Pogba. He was sent to Juve. But what did the club go and do when Mourinho first signed? They re-signed Paul Pogba for a club record fee. But yeah, I just think that I'm happy with Ole Gunnar Solskjaer at the moment. He has, you know, he's second. He is still in the Europa League. And he has addressed the dressing room behind on his, following him. I just feel that the Glazers really need to be, you know, they need to go.
If I could put my two cents in with Mourinho, I respect him a lot. I know a lot of people think he's negative and they don't like his footballing style. But I think the difference with Mourinho and why United think he didn't do well, I think he said once in an interview that it's his best managerial performance or achievement was ending second with that Man United team that ended second in, I think it was the season he won the Europa League as well, or the season just before. And then the thing, the difference between Chelsea Mourinho and the Man United Mourinho is Mourinho asked for things at Chelsea, and especially his first stint, and also coming back with Costa and Fabregas, he asked for things and he got it and he produced. Where at Man United, he was not given what was asked. He publicly said he did not get what he asked for. And as I said, Man United believe in a certain style and he didn't adhere to that. And that's why there was frustration and upset fans. So I think he's a great manager. I think he's undervaluing himself and people have undervalued him. But with him, as Daniel said previously, you're not necessarily going to get trophies, but you might not always get the most flashy fashion football that everyone likes, but you're going to guaranteed success. And that's why what Cameron said about Pogba, I think, do you want Pogba out? Probably not. But I think Mourinho, if he was stuck around, I think he could have brought a couple of trophies to United and Tottenham. I thought he would have had a good run in the cup final last weekend, sorry.
No, I was just about to say, like, the fact that Mourinho, I think the fact he gets sacked so many times, I think he's become an easy scapegoat. But based off of what Kian has been saying, Dan, can you agree with that?
I do agree. And also what you said right now about teams using him as a scapegoat. It's quite unfortunate that, I mean, the reputation that you build for yourself is going to determine which teams not are attracted to you, but are also the way they're also going to get rid of you. You know, so it's unfortunate, though. It's just, I don't know, it's just kind of sad. I feel like a coach like him who brought a team like Porto to the Champions League final and not only just did that, but also won the Champions League final with them, won like Champions League finals with Real Madrid also. I just feel so bad for him. I really do. And people mocking him, laughing about it. I just know. It's just very unfortunate, man.
On the back of that and on what you guys have said, don't you think so many times with football fans, well, before last week, we've always looked at the managers or we've always looked at the players or we've always looked at, you know, but what about the guys making these decisions, these club owners? I mean, in the past week, they've pretty much put up all our club's histories, given it up as collateral for a big multi-billion payday. And these are the same people, Daniel Levy, again, the same person who sacks Mourinho. Is that the best thing for Tottenham Football Club? I would say no. But it's the best thing for his pocket.
Let me ask you this. You and Keanu this.
Yes.
I've already seen all the news that John Henry, owner of Liverpool, and I think he's chairman of FSG, they've decided that they won't sell Liverpool. They've declined already. How much was it? A $3 billion US dollar bid?
That is correct.
What signings in the summer would you as Liverpool fans want? And would you feel it would be appropriate to say, okay, cool, we understand you made a mistake?
I would like to think, from a Liverpool footballing perspective, that the owners will be doing anything and everything to almost pretty much say money isn't an option. We'll kind of get whoever we need to get. Because if FSG is going to stay around, looking at post-ESL, if they are going to stay around, I think they are going to have to sweeten the deal a bit. But I think they are going to have to slowly relinquish some of their control of the club to the fans, which I see a lot of footballing fans are pushing for in the UK. I also see there's petitions, there's referendums that they want to have to go to Parliament and whatnot to discuss having football clubs in the UK have the clubs will be owned 51% by fans or the general population, and that outside investment can only be up to 49% or maximum 49%. So all of that depends on where it's going to go. I mean, these Premier League clubs are very, very lucky, the six Premier League clubs, because we wouldn't have been a part of Champions League next season had the ESL gone through. Yes, we would have had the ESL, but who's to say that we would have been able to make big transfers? I mean, FIFA and UEFA could have banned any teams not part of that to not be able to transfer. So then the likes of Liverpool, I mean, we're pretty much looking at Mbappe and Haaland as our two big coups there that we want to get. Possibly I'd even look at like Harry Kane. You know, some
realistic signings, please.
Realistic signing, I think Mbappe. I genuinely think we can get Mbappe if we can qualify for Champions League. Chelsea was able to get many signings after having a transfer ban and whatnot, and being up and down in Europa League, in champs, getting knocked out, etc. So, you know, I mean, same as United getting someone like Bruno. Also playing in the Europa League now and whatnot. So I think that we can also make a few decent signings.
Transfers, I do not really know. I heard we heavily linked with Konate from Leipzig, another centre-back. I'm assuming one of our current ones.
Apparently the deal is confirmed.
See when he's in a shirt. Other than that, I would love to dream about a big poster boy future star, as Cameron mentioned. But at this moment, I cannot see. I think one of the front three need to go for a big spending to happen, and it seems like that's not going to happen. So, I see anything can happen. Salah can wake up tomorrow, Mane wants more money, whatever. Like Gini Wijnaldum, they want more money, and they're not happy anymore, so then they leave. So, for me, I would love to get a striker of sorts in. Maybe if Jota were to play the whole time, then maybe not even.
Martin Braithwaite.
No, definitely not. I saw a lot of things about Suarez being linked back. I would love that. I think that would fit perfectly for me. But I wanted to actually find out from Daniel what his opinion was on the Super League as a Chelsea fan now, and how he felt. I know it's kind of past now and all the hype and all the uproar is missing. But what was your opinion, Daniel? How do you feel as a Chelsea supporter being involved in the Super League and potentially earning big bucks?
Okay, firstly, guys, the Europa Super League, I am partly divided about it, just due to the fact that we all know that everything just comes out of some turbulent times, and we never really actually got to hear them out about what structure they tried to put in place for this European Super League. We never really understood what plans that they had. We just heard that, you know what, the CEOs of these corporations just accepted a lot of money and now they're moving to another league. We never really heard them out or heard what plans that they had. And I'm just thinking to myself, how did the Champions League even start out in the first place? They took the champions of the individual leagues and they decided to bring them together. Isn't that the same thing that's happening right now? Unfortunately, we never actually gave them a chance. We never really gave them a voice, like a platform to be able to speak out. We just went out and decided, okay, you know what? We don't want this. We can't sacrifice our opportunities of fair play and all that. But I do believe that over time, the European Super League was going to overtake the Champions League and a better structure was going to come to plan, and hopefully even smaller teams would be able to partake in it as well. Yeah, I'm just thinking to myself right now, what new plan, because I'm not sure what his name is, but the CEO or the head of the Champions League has said that new plans are going to be...
Alexander Seferi.
Yeah, he's going to... new plans are going to be taken into creating a new structure for the Champions League. And I just want to hear what plans, what structure is he going to put in place? Because
I actually have that here by me right now if you want to hear it.
I'm ready to hear them.
All right. So basically, the Champions League would be now instead of taking 32 teams, the Champions League would host 36 teams.
Okay.
Each team would play 10 games, and it would be a structure of a league table. It would be a table instead of each team in a group. The top 8 would go through to the next round, and then it wasn't really clear. But I believe the next 8 teams on that log, so from position 9th till 16th, would be in a playoff round to get those last few positions in the knockout phases. And then they didn't really specify about what's going to happen with Europa League.
Well, that actually sounds very exciting, to be honest. I'm not sure if I'm divided in that part. But
for me, though, what I've seen with players is that it almost seems a little bit hypocritical from UEFA.
Yeah.
They didn't approve the Super League, because they weren't making money from it. That's why Sky and everyone got in on it, because they were going to lose billions. But that's a different conversation. But, a lot of players have come out saying that you guys have just scrapped the Super League because it was going to be more games for us as players. And now your solution to that isn't to restructure the Champions League. It's to make more games for us to make you guys more money. We can only play so many games a season. UEFA and FIFA are also responsible for the Nations League. So it's almost like a give and take. Then scrap the Nations League. If you're going to have a Champions League like this, then scrap the Nations League. I mean, what's the point behind it? I mean, every other year they're playing to qualify for Euros or to qualify for the World Cup. So then...
I think that's why they're changing the structure of the Champions League, just because they saw the reception of Nations League was not so great. But then tell me real quick. So your 3 signings that you'd like Roman to bring into Chelsea.
Okay, my part, I believe we need a midfielder who's going to replace Jorginho. He's not consistent enough. I have heard that it's going to be Giroud's last season in Chelsea, so we need another striker, preferably the same physical structure and stature as Giroud, with more experience, and also a defender, not one with as much experience as Thiago Silva, but someone who is just has as much potential and wouldn't just lose his mind and get a red card against West Brom. I'm not really sure which defender I could pick out, but honestly, right now, I feel like our team is very well balanced. I feel like the young players in there are really good, and I'm just very eager to just see them play more games. I feel like Hakim Ziyech isn't being used to the best of his potential by Tuchel. I do believe that over time, he will improve. And I also believe that Timo Werner, he's working his ass off. He's just doing so well. And I feel like he just needs to apply himself in the right positions. His nerves just overtake him. After every single miss, he just loses his mind. But I feel like our team is very well balanced. No specific 3 targets, except for the typical Haaland news and every now and then. But we have signed a new player. He is a defender. I've forgotten his name. Brazilian.
Thiago Silva's son.
I'm not sure. But yeah, he is going to be coming to the team next season. But I do like our team structure right now. I'm very confident in tonight's match. I can't wait to watch it. And hopefully we do come off the win as well.
Daniel, I wanted to pop a question that's quite interesting for me. Why do you think Tammy Abraham is seeing little to 0 minutes in that team, where I thought he was really good in Lampard's first season, and when he was on loan, I think he proved himself to be good enough. I don't think he's the most agile striker out there, but if you're going to play Giroud anyways, then why not a Tammy, or what's your opinions on him?
Okay, so I've noticed as well that Tammy isn't getting as much game time. I personally believe it might be Tuchel trying to make his place and make a status in the team. He did the same with Mason Mount at the start. Wasn't really playing him so much, and probably just trying to show them that, okay, just because you were the last teacher's pet, you're not going to be my pet. You know, I'm going to tell you when you're going to play. And I think it was probably the same thing with Tammy Abraham as well. Tammy, being a physical character, might have put up an intimidating type of structure against Tuchel. And just to put him in his place, I totally agree with Tuchel, just sitting him down a few games, maybe playing him every now and then. But I do believe that he does know his potential and he will be easing him into games that he is going to be needed. Unfortunately, you're not going to need as much Tammy Abraham during the first few minutes of the game, probably when the opponents are tired, when you're expecting to get crosses in, when you need to get high crosses and headers into the net. But I'm not really sure why Tuchel isn't playing him. It's probably just a pride thing.
I just want to quickly throw in here my three signings that I want United to make, actually. Jadon Sancho, priority. Declan Rice. And a right back to take the pressure off of Aaron Wan-Bissaka, Max Aarons. I am not going to say anything about Haaland, because I mean, we're already dealing with Pogba, and what does Pogba and Haaland have in common, guys? Mino Raiola.
But that's the whole thing with all these transfers now. Like we're busy talking about teams who we want to get, and at the end of the day, I think we need to just look at, like, why are these players going for so much? It's not necessarily always the clubs, but it's these managers. I mean, like, look how much they get from the signings, how much these clubs pay these managers, you know, to get a player to the club, or player agents, you know. And for me, I just think it's ludicrous. The fact that FIFA hasn't clamped down on this, UEFA hasn't clamped down on these stupid price tags. And, you know, credit to Dortmund. I mean, like, they've clearly got a good business going, bring in young talent, make them look exceptional.
Like you mentioned now, I mean, that just, like we mentioned now about agents, I just wanted to then bring us into the next topic about, you know, how is it possible that agents are able to convince actors in Hollywood to take on ridiculous movie? Like, let's give an example. They're recently doing another Fast and the Furious movie. How are agents able to convince these actors to do something so, in my opinion, I think Fast and the Furious should have actually died after Fast and the Furious 2. That's where it peaked off for me.
I mean, to answer your question, Tubbs, I'm not sure if you guys ever watched the show The Apprentice, but now would be a nice time to insert the theme song, you know, money, 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 money. It's the same as even if you look at football. I mean, like, why did Pogba go from Juventus back to United after stating during that season, I'll never go back to United, etc.? Is Mino Raiola convinced him to go there?
Okay.
You're going to get paid an enormous sum of money, and you're going to get this. The same as, okay, Fast and Furious, I have a different opinion on, because Fast and Furious, I think they've created family and whatnot amongst themselves, yes. But I also think that, like, it's transitioned into now an action franchise.
Bond, especially.
Very similar to, like, the likes of Avengers and whatnot. It's gone from being about, well, but James Bond, remember, a lot of James Bond, I think this James Bond coming out this year is the first James Bond, or the previous one was the first one that wasn't one of the books. Forgive me, I don't remember the guy who wrote the books. Fleming, Ian Fleming, I think it was. He wrote the James Bond books. I do stand corrected, I probably am wrong, but, you know, they went along books. But there was a time and a place for that, but now we're looking at, you know, I mean, Lord of the Rings made multiple movies, and look at that.
We are comparing Fast and the Furious to Lord of the Rings. Fast and the Furious did start off as a crime type of drama, if you think about it that way. And now it's evolved into, yeah, street racing, music orientated, you know, like...
Oh yeah, street racing, you know, very...
Bombs and car washes, and now it's all about super spies
big
and
bums.
Oh wait, you have a brother now? Like, what is that about?
Yeah.
Like,
it's like, okay, cool, you have a brother, but how does that lock into Dom from the Fast and the Furious? You know what I mean? Like, Fast 9 and the first one, it's like, things aren't... Oh, well, we haven't seen the movie. Maybe they will, but it's like, I just loved the earlier ones. Or even if you look at Too Fast, Too Furious, down in Miami, and it was just about, you know, driving and, you know, but Yeah, there's so many different franchises. There's Harry Potter, there's Spider-Man, there's... But I do think it comes down to the managers, and it does come down to the actors, but the actors are going to go where the money is. Of course, they are going to do stuff that they are passionate about and stuff like that, but you can't blame them not to. You can't blame them not to, because I'm telling you right now, if someone offers me a good, fair couple of million to shoot a movie...
I don't know about you guys, but even though they remade Spider-Man a bunch of times, I think it just got better with every remake. Even the latest Disney ones are definitely better than the Sony ones.
Oh my goodness.
What are you saying?
Hey, hold on. Just to say, the Spider-Man 1, 2, and 3 trilogy with Tobey Maguire, they're brilliant. The ones in the middle with Andrew Garfield, they're meh. But then the ones with Tom Holland are pretty good.
Keanu just likes it for
that's a lie. That's a what's her name? False statement.
I think that's why Keanu likes.
I'm being honest now. First three was brilliant for me. Denial. I enjoyed Amazing Spider-Man. I enjoyed where it was going. It gave a little bit of a different perspective. I know the newer ones are more based off the comics, but I don't think Tom Holland is a bad actor. I think he's an awesome actor. I think he's an awesome person. But I'm just, it doesn't give me that vintage Spider-Man that I enjoyed and that I liked. Even Amazing Spider-Man I enjoyed, and I felt there was a whole legal battle between, I don't know, Marvel and Sony or whoever was involved with that. But I just...
Sony and Disney.
I just felt it sucked out the whole Spider-Man, like how... I know it's different to the comics, but the one that was on the screen, 1, 2, and 3, the OG one, was the best, man. It's just gone for me. They've lost it. There's animations now, there's things coming out left, right, and center. It's just not something I would tell my friends and future children and everyone about.
But also, if we look at Spider-Man, the whole point behind Spider-Man is, or if you look at Marvel as a whole, everyone is like a superhuman. Captain America had the super serum. Thor, you know, he's a god, Hulk. And the whole point behind Spider-Man was the fact that he got bitten by a spider, his DNA got changed, and there you go, Spidey 101.
I feel like it does go a lot deeper than that. I feel like the reason why superheroes come through are because they are so relatable. That's why people love them. They experience the same hardships as real human beings, and they are able
to... I agree with you.
Without their superpowers.
But do you think that Tom Holland is Spider-Man, or do you think he's just Spider-Man? Because it's not like he got bitten by a spider.
Yeah.
He kind of just wears a suit.
I'm happy they didn't really do that because I think it's been stretched out so much.
It's been done so many times.
No, it's a nice take on it. And I also like the storyline between the character and between Iron Man and Spider-Man in Avengers and whatnot, like a father-son kind of thing, which is quite nice. But yeah, I mean, there's so many. I mean, like, are any of you guys fans of Harry Potter? I am. I'm probably an even bigger fan of Emma
Everything
Watson.
Everything after,
but yes,
Prisoner of Azkaban was not my favorite, was not my cup of tea. Everything before that was good.
I think Prisoner of Azkaban is one of the best.
Are you sure about that? Dan, the man from the United Kingdom. What's your say?
I'd say Prisoner of Azkaban is one of my favorite. Deathly Hallows 1 also. But my favorite was definitely The Philosopher's Stone, the first one. It was just so relatable. It came out the same time when I was around the same age as Daniel Craig. I feel like it was just so relatable. Like just seeing a kid leaving his home, a home that wasn't necessarily his, and having to go out alone into this strange world and overcoming, that just felt so relatable. And I feel like there were so many children and so many kids around the world who just saw Harry Potter and just wanted to be like
and
Harry
now
Potter
he's doing just... movies like Guns Akimbo.
Yeah, what the hell, right? Yeah, I just felt like Harry Potter is it's a really good franchise. Like it is, like there's just, I feel like it's probably the best. Hey, it's probably the greatest ever franchise to be made, now that I think about it.
Better than the Marvel. That's a stretch.
Like I'm like for real, I'm being so serious right now. Like it is really, really good. It is really good. The fact that it came from books and
Marvel movies came from a comic. It came from comic.
They did. But
yo,
If you're going to say Harry Potter's like the greatest and because it came from books, then how, where does Twilight fit into that? Because for me,
no, why
oh, don't you
don't go there, don't go there, don't go there. See, now the thing is, Twilight is in no way relatable. You can't relate to Twilight.
I don't hate on Twilight. I think it's a nice franchise. It's the same as like I'm a big fan of 50 Shades.
Oh,
I'm a very big fan of 50 Shades. Not for what most people are fans of it for. Worse. I just genuinely enjoy the storyline.
To be honest,
I'm just putting it up.
What's your take then?
No. Just on the Harry Potter Keanu's thing. Look, I watched the first two. I did not really enjoy it. It's not in my alley. Look, I'll put aside some time in my life to go through each one and then make a fair opinion on it. So I'm not going to comment too much on it. I've watched the first two. I liked parts. It wasn't my favorite part of everything, but it wasn't the worst. And then I don't know why you hate on the Twilight saga. I don't understand. Although it is a more teen, I think everyone was in uproar when it came out, and all the girls were going mad about how these boys are so nice and it's going crazy and whatever. So I think it revolutionized the way I think. I can't think of any other movies that came out where teenage girls and young women were going crazy the whole time about actors in the movie. There was new trends of now, are you a vampire? Are you a werewolf? Like, there was crazy shit going on.
Don't bring me back to
Justin Bieber era.
Well, on that topic, Tubbs, would you be a vampire or a werewolf?
But I'll be a zombie, thank you.
You're trying to be like a 13-year-old boy that doesn't.
Pretty much a vampire. Daniel?
It's hard enough being a Nigerian.
How about the acting like 13-year-old boys that can't make a decision, bro? Come now. It's not
all right. Okay,
we don't hate Justin Bieber anymore, so we can all act like
personally, I'd probably be a vampire,
bruh. You know, I don't need to be confined to just two choices. It's 2021.
Oh,
let's be real.
Oh my, here we go. Can I just say that we've forgotten a huge movie franchise, and that's Star Wars. I think Star Wars is really up there. I think.
Everything after Return of the Jedi is, except for Rogue One, the newer movies are not that great. Rogue One is pretty good.
Look, I understand. For me, it was very sad in the first movie. What was the Force Awakens? I genuinely just
potential.
Felt like it was sad that they killed off Han Solo so early. You know, it would have been nice having Luke and Han Solo reunite. Of course, Princess Leia, the actress, died.
I heard they are talking about, you know, creating a new timeline for Star Wars.
No.
I see that they may want to go earlier back, you know, with the comics, the animations and whatnot, because there's a lot more about that. Like, they want to go and they want to do stuff with, I think, Darth Maul when Count Dooku was a Jedi, and, you know, kind of go back then. I know that they are doing a series called Obi-Wan. So there's going to be a series about Obi-Wan. I haven't watched The Mandalorian yet, but it is on my to-do list.
I just want to put it out there. Don't you guys think it's time sometimes for franchises to let go? Because I feel like it's going to be a stupid example now, but for example, like a Shrek. Shrek was brilliant. 1, 2, and then 3 kind of, you lost the plot.
Oh, Shrek 5 is coming out.
Yeah, but you see, even worse, if you look at like a Stuart Little, 1, 2, amazing. 3, don't know what's going on. And then 4 was like an animation or some piece of garbage. I just think sometimes you need to let it go.
Home Alone
1 and 2 was good. Thank you very much, Dan.
Home Alone 1 and 2 with Macaulay Culkin were good.
But now it's the same with like a series like Game of Thrones. I didn't personally enjoy the start. I kind of gave up because it's not my thing. And anyway, people started going raving. It became a crazy. Everyone's watching it. You have to watch it. And then the finale came, probably pushed it maybe a season too far. And then everyone's like, what horseshit is this? No one's happy. Everyone's upset. Everyone's in uproar. So that's what I'm saying. Sometimes time to let go.
The problem is that with the show, they were going along according to the book. Unlike Harry Potter, many people don't know, but Harry Potter isn't as close to the book as what the movies are. You know, they have made some changes, even with some of the characters and whatnot. Not big changes, but they've changed some stuff. And that's just show business. I feel with Game of Thrones, they could have ended it differently, and I agree with you. But yeah.
Okay, let me ask this then. Give me franchises that you're happy the fact that they carried on, and other franchises that you feel that just should have ended, that shouldn't have gotten a sequel or shouldn't have continued on.
Well, why don't we go one for one?
Let Daniel start.
Definitely.
I feel like first we got to notice that like franchises are things that do evolve over time, and people also evolve over time. You're not going to be interested in the same thing that you were in 2 years ago. Going back to Stuart Little, you were maybe 11, 10 when you first watched Stuart Little. You were excited. You evolved 11 years old. Stuart Little 2 comes out, maybe 13. Stuart Little 3 comes out, and you're just like, what the hell is going on? I like girls, you know, all of a sudden, puberty, all that stuff. What is this rat creature thing?
I heard, I'm not sure if you guys have seen the show, but you just reminded me about a franchise that was relatively small, filmed in the UK, but it just ended in the middle of nowhere, which was quite frustrating me. So I'm not sure if any of you guys have seen The Inbetweeners.
Yeah, yeah.
Brilliant show.
Hilarious, fun, but 3 seasons, of which I think each season is 4 episodes, 5 episodes, something like that. And the way they ended it was just like smack bang in the middle.
I feel the same way about a certain series called Community.
Oh, I've started watching it. Don't, please don't.
I'm not going to spoil it. I'm not going to say anything. All I want to say about it is 6 seasons and a movie.
Yeah, so Daniel, continue.
But yes, Dan, dude, continue, yeah. Continue, sorry.
Kind of lost my train of thought there. But yeah, franchises that I believe would be better. What's the question again? Sorry?
Franchises that you that you're okay with, that carried on, and franchises that you feel should have rather died off.
Well, we've already spoken about Fast and Furious. I feel like Star Wars should be renewed. I feel like the love for it will still live on in older generations, younger generations as well. Yeah, Fast and Furious just needs to go. The Avengers, the Marvel comics should go. I believe that's enough of that for now, unless they can introduce a completely new... Has anyone actually seen the Netflix series Invincible?
I have not. Would you recommend it?
I would definitely 100% recommend it. I was watching Avengers Endgame just yesterday. Like, I was going over it once more, and I just realized this is kind of ridiculous. Why are they laughing about everything? Why are there so many jokes in between scenes? And then I went back to watch the Snyder Cut for the Justice League, and I was like kind of blown away. Like, okay,
very, very good movie.
Like, very good.
And even though it's 4 hours, I mean, like, you don't feel bored.
You do not. Not at all. Like, it was such an interesting movie. Like, I was totally consumed completely. But yeah, I feel like the way people approach a movie should be able to tell you whether you are going to enjoy like a second part or not. But that's just not the case. People do change over time, and following the same rhythm every single time, people just tend to get sick of it. I believe that's why Fast and the Furious did change, increase with the technology, and now they're all of a sudden going to space. It's because things are just changing over time. Their target demographic is no longer us, guys. It's now kids. It's now your mom who's bored on her TV set, who sees Tyrese on TV, you know, like, who sees Tyrese on TV, and she's like, oh, wait, that guy used to make music. Who see, like, your uncle who sees Ludacris on TV, like, whoa, that guy used to rap, you know? Like, people who see The Rock back in the day, like, whoa, that guy used to be a wrestler, you know? Like, that's their target demographic, and kids as well, who are like, oh, wow, maybe one day I want to go to space with my car and swing on a tree with my car. That's just not possible. They are not targeting us right now. And I feel like that's just not our problem to deal with at the moment. So we shouldn't be worried about the movies. I feel like the movies are just going to come to us. You know, like, they're just going to, we just have to be patient. Have you watched Judas, like this Judas movie that Daniel Kaluuya won the Oscar for? I haven't watched it, but I feel so attracted to the movie already. I'm 100% sure I'm definitely going to enjoy it. And I feel like I'm the target demographic, being a black guy. And I'm definitely like, feel like I should just like go switch on my TV right now and start watching the movie, because I just feel so attracted to it already. And how did they do that? Not by some, I haven't even seen like a trailer for the movie before. I've just heard people talking about it. And I feel like the movie is just going to come to you. You don't have to go out there looking through trailers, 2021 best movies, new movies. You don't have to do that. The movie will come to you.
So, boys.
I think it should be Age Before Beauty, my good friend.
Oh, Lord. Okay, fine. Carry on. Definitely Marvel. I disagree with you there, Dan. I think they have so much that they can work with. And they have so much that it's a series that has so much potential and it can really grow from here. As you know, it's good. I'm going to carry on. Fast and the Furious, it's time to go, in the words of Claude.
Well, for me, it may ruffle a little bit of feathers. To go for me, I would say, is the Batman. I just don't think, if you're not going to have Christian Bale there, then for me, he's been the best Batman. But I also feel, with that as well, I think it's kind of been drawn out for a long period of time. And also, I genuinely think that whole side of DC, I know they're trying to bring stuff back, like they're doing different spin-offs with like the Joker. I really like the new Joker, so that's fine. But in terms of Joker and Batman, I don't think you'll ever get better than the Christian Bale and the Heath Ledger. And I think it would be nice if we just like left it there, because no one's ever going to be a better Joker than Heath Ledger as a character. But as a movie, the Joker with Joaquin Phoenix. Yes, that was just incredible. As a singled out movie, that alone was just incredible. The psychological aspect, the build, the climax, everything was just, it was just really, really good. I hope they don't do another movie on that, because it would ruin the first one.
I actually wish they never made that Joker movie, to be honest.
Live in oh, really? Society. How come?
Yeah, I felt like it was a little over the top. A young Bruce Wayne. So it's not really the Joker, you know.
Okay. Well, I study psychology. So for me, from that perspective, I was just very intrigued by the character. Not necessarily the name of the character, but the character. So I thought it was very clever, but I think Warner Brothers needs to come up with some new in tune, something different. Maybe like I think a lot of people have been sleeping on the whole Greek god thing. I know we had Percy Jackson, we had like Clash and Wrath of the Titans, but I'm talking like an OG take on this, like go from the very beginning and kind of build it up. You could have something
like God of War type of stuff.
Yeah, yeah, something very, even God of War is a movie, imagine. Like that could be dope. But and then the one series that I want to see, or franchise, pushed forward, I agree with you, Dan, in that Star Wars. I think the whole point behind Star Wars is that the universe is infinite. And I think that there's so much they can do with that. But I think in terms of the Skywalker story, I think it's kind of dead. You know, everyone loved it. Everyone, followed it and resonated with the good versus evil. But I think there's so much that happened before that I think they could really build on and maybe just take a different swing or perspective on the situation.
You either die a hero or you live long enough to see yourself become the villain. So that's my opinion on the whole matter. I think that Star Wars should leave it. I think it's the same with 007. I know it's maybe not targeted at us, but I just think there's enough brilliant movies out there that there's not really a necessity to make another one. And then I think that Marvel and DC should remain. And the only reason I'm saying this is because what Daniel said earlier about we are not necessarily the main target market anymore. And I would like for future children and future generations to still be aware or know Spider-Man, Batman, Superman, can even throw Iron Man, Hulk. I want them to stay relevant, although their quality won't my dip or whatever. We don't like it anymore. But I think they should remain just for the future generation's sake. But I think the big ones, the Harry Potters, the Jurassic Park, all those big franchise. I think they have enough under their name to not necessarily make more. And the reason I'm also saying this, what I thought about is Friends. I know that's now a little layback kind of series, but I think everyone watches Friends continuously, and it's, I don't even know how old it is now. It's really old, and we're just still watching it. Or not necessarily me, but I know if I walk into a person's house and they don't know what to watch, it's Friends. You can see on social media, it's Friends, it's Friends. I think they've made enough quality, they've made enough episodes for people just to keep watching it. So that's why I think some big names have made enough to just call it a day. Fast and Furious, I think it's time to go also. I think they've changed their angle so many times. I don't even know who's alive, who's dead. They're making characters who's dead alive. So I don't know. I'm not in it. I don't know what's going on anymore. I loved it the first 3-4, but after that, it lost me. But yeah, that's just my take on your guys' Asian franchise.
I agree with what he's saying on a lot of it. I just think, also remember with Friends, they also, what did they make, like 18 seasons? You know, so, you know, it did get drawn out for quite a while. You know, they went back and forth between like Rachel and Joey.
Ross,
and
whatnot. Isn't it?
Sorry to spoil anyone's day if they haven't seen Friends. No, and then Ross again, and then you know, et cetera, et cetera. Jennifer Aniston was beautiful then, and she's still beautiful now.
Okay, yes.
So, lads, I pulled up 5 matches for Premier League weekend number 35. I just want to get your predictions and just like a score, how much you think these games will end. Well, I'll just read them out for you here. Leeds Spurs, I say 1-1. Yeah, 1-1
for me.
1-0 Tottenham.
For Leeds, okay. City Chelsea, I say
where are they playing?
2-1. At the Empty Head.
Empty Head. City win 2-0. De Bruyne to score 1 goal.
3-1 City.
Okay, Villa United. I say United 3-1. They're playing at Villa Park.
Yeah, play United 2-1.
Draw.
United to win 2-0.
Draw.
It's killing him just saying it.
Draw.
Okay, at Anfield, Liverpool, Southampton, I say 2-0 for Liverpool.
Say 1-0 for Liverpool.
Liverpool boys are quiet.
I'm going to go 3-1.
And Keanu?
Oh, goodness. We can't keep a clean sheet or anything. We can hardly score a goal. So if we're lucky, 2-1.
And one last game to wrap it up. West Ham versus Everton. West Ham are at home. I say 2-2.
I say West Ham 3-0. Jesse Lingard hat trick.
Cheap as someone like Jesse.
Lingardinho. I think West Ham have disappointed me the last couple of games. I'm going to go... I want to say Everton nick it, but I think it will be a draw. Probably like a 1-1 or 2-2.
Yeah. Everton also haven't been striking that well. They got lucky against Arsenal as well with the Leno mistake.
Thanks for your input, boys. Definitely. This episode has been quite long, but I've enjoyed every moment of it.
Oh, definitely. I'd just like to, Daniel, on behalf of the Musings on 39 podcast team, we'd just like to thank you for taking time out of your day. We know that was longer than expected. But thank you very much. Thank you for your time. Please thank for allowing you the extra time to be on here. I've thoroughly enjoyed having you on, and hopefully we'll have you on again soon. What did you guys think, chaps?
Yeah, Daniel, pleasure having you on. And I'm really hoping you can join us on another episode. I'm sure you will. I'd like to get more of your insights on a variety of topics, as you made me think of a few of my answers. So yeah, it was great chatting to you, man. And I'm hoping to have you on again.
And yeah, Dan, thank you again for joining us. I knew we were talking about this already for a while for you to come onto the show, but it's been really fun. I've enjoyed our conversation. You know, we've always had these kinds of debates, but we've always been able to help each other just think a little bit differently about our teams and just topics in general. Any final words, man?
Agreed, bro. I just want to thank you guys again, man. I really appreciate it. I feel like you guys have opened my mind to a lot of different topics. I'm definitely going to start reading a lot more books. And yeah, I really appreciate the time that you guys took to actually bring me on here and the patience. And yeah, it means a lot to me, man. I appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
And with that, we call a close to the Musings on 39 podcast for this week. I would like to thank all of our listeners for sticking it out with us till the end. Please consider giving us a follow and on Twitter and on Instagram. And if you haven't listened to our previous episodes before, you'll be able to find them wherever you listen to your podcasts. This has been the Musings on 39 podcast team, and we'd like to wish you all a good night or a good day further.
Thank you very much.
Peace out, boys.